This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
What? You're tuned into FUBAR. The sounds of Sarah Hugh and Doc is actually here.
Hey!
It's genuinely the Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 show.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you need to speak into the microphone. You've been away so long, you've forgotten the protocol. You know the logo at the front? Speak into the logo at the front.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yes, okay, that sounds much better. It's been a while. You spent too much time chilling on beaches and tropical places.
It's been a Hollywood life the past 2 months, you know?
Basically.
Actually, we did have a bit of a theory, because the last time we spoke to you on the show, Doc, you said, oh yeah, I'm in my trailer, I'm on set. And we all thought, hang on, maybe times are just a bit tough, and he's actually living in a trailer, and he's just trying to keep up the pretense of everything's fine. So what
I've
has it been?
All these little backdrops that I can move for the Instagram shots, you know? Like, stick a new one up, take a picture of myself. But give it out there.
Where have you been? Because you were working.
I was up in Manchester.
You still need to speak into the front of the mic, don't you?
Oh, yeah? Is it still not the front?
I feel like
a guest. I was Manchester and Hereford. Okay, and then when I finished, I flew out literally the next day after rapping to Barbados and spent like a couple weeks there and sitting on beaches, drinking Banks beer.
What were you filming?
It's got to be done.
It was like a three-part kind of chiller.
Ooh,
for ITV Encore, right.
And you say it's
coming out in September.
Yeah man. So you know you're going to keep us posted of that. I can't wait to see your your thespian skills.
Yes. I have the chops.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you back, man. Seriously, like, how many? It's been too long.
I've
been doing this show for what, four months or something.
We started
maybe
in February.
I think we've done five shows together.
Actually, maybe it was January. It was late January, and I don't know how many shows we've done together, but it's a handful.
It's a handful.
You could count them on one hand.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's going to be away next?
I don't know.
Possibly me.
It's probably going to be Sarah.
Yeah. I'm trying to manoeuvre things, so yeah, but I'm not missing any shows, but I'm doing my best. What's Barbados saying, though?
I've never made it to Barbados. Barbados is a tiny, tiny, tiny island with like 280,000 people on it who all sound like they're from Somerset. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, you're right, boy.
I love the accent.
Yeah, so I was spending most of the week listening to this song called Go Down. By a guy called Lil Rick, who's kind of a rapper out there, and it's like a soca tune, you know.
Soca,
but when
soca.
He starts rapping,
soca.
Honestly, who taught you to win like that? It's amazing.
We got
to get it up on the show.
Down.
It's superb.
Yeah, man.
Who told you
can
win like that? Ah, it's amazing.
What a place!
It is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, white sand, you know, coral reefs. Cold beers.
Okay, enough of that, because it's like hurricane season outside right now.
Yeah,
here.
But you know what? I heard that we were going to have a crazy heat wave at the end of the week.
I'm not sure. Like, they keep going
back
and forth.
Listen, how many times do you hear that? And then it's
going,
like,
yeah. Well, that's
this
what
heat
saying.
Wave was like 15 degrees.
Because they said it was going to be the hottest June like since 1910. It's going to be like a big heat wave coming through, and then they change it like yesterday. Like, oh, actually, it's going to be gale force winds now.
But I love how they pull these random since 1910. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yeah, or since records began. That's the
one
they like.
That's the go-to
since records
one.
Began.
Yeah, that's
don't
the go-to
trust
one.
Any of it anymore. Mm-hmm. Just deal one day at a time.
Yeah.
But yes, we've had lots of cool stuff going on the show.
Yeah, I've missed
you've
all sorts.
Out on last week.
We should shout out Michael Payne.
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
Michael.
Yeah.
That was my
much
pick,
love
by the way, ladies and gents. It was my pick for my own replacement.
Well, you better watch out, because he's on your heels. He's hot on your heels.
I knew he'd be good. And I had no qualms. I don't mind him being better than me.
He wants your job.
Because, you know, you guys should pick your... Who would you pick for your replacement?
Who would I pick? I don't know. Maybe someone that looks similar to me, like Courtney Love.
Oh, Courtney Love.
Someone
yeah.
like that, I reckon, yeah.
That could work, actually. She'd definitely have some shit to say.
Yeah, she really, really would.
No, you know what I love with Courtney Love? When that Malaysian Airlines flight went missing, and then she put these messages out on Twitter, like Twitter, saying that she'd been on Google Maps, and she had
found... And she found it. Oh, yeah, Courtney Love found the plane.
I was like, that was one of the best tweets in the year. I was
who
like,
would
wow,
replace
Courtney.
You?
Maybe, I don't know, Shaka Zulu or something.
Shaka Zulu.
Yeah.
And who would
Muhammad
pay you
Ali
in the movie of your life?
Who would pay me in the movie of my life? Maybe. Just anyone with dreadlocks, they're all the same anyway. Isn't it? So that'll do.
All right, wicked. So Jazzy B is going to be playing Sarah Love.
I saw Jazzy B actually last week. We were both DJing at the Love Saves the Day Festival in Bristol. And he's one of these characters who I have so much respect for, Jazzy B, but he is definitely one of these characters, along with DJ Grandmaster Flash. He has a pretty bad reputation in the game of being a bit of a diva.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
So I think peeps need to sort it out, not be divas. Just spread love, you know?
More details
of
this later.
Like turning up 1 minute late to do a radio show and then demanding a Diet Coke.
Yeah, who
diva.
Who would do that?
Who would do that? Who the hell would do that?
Who would do that?
But you're like, Diet Coke now! Not me. Not me.
I was really shocked to get an email early on today when we were organising the, you know, the ins and outs of what was going to be on the show today, to hear that the violinist Nigel Kennedy had died.
Shut up! Listen, let's not be wishing no badness on Nigel.
Can't be that little guy, surely.
And as soon as I sent the email, I was like, hold on a second. Did I just write Nigel Kennedy? Nigel Kennedy, I know you're still out there smashing it, so let's not wish any badness on him. But we definitely have to send a massive big up to the main man, Charles Kennedy.
Charles Kennedy.
Not to be confused with the violinist Nigel Kennedy. Charles Kennedy, who was
Got a different name, which is Nigel.
Easily confused for Charles, though. Easily confused.
I know. But
the funny thing, when you send that email through as well, Ali that works here in production, he was like, oh my God, he's dead? He's an amazing violinist. What? I can't believe it.
He was just winding me up.
It was never cleared
up for
me.
It's just not fair.
But yes, no, Charles Kennedy, though, seriously, that man was a G. He used to be the leader of the Liberal Democrat Party, and really, to me, I just think he deserves a massive big up for using his position to you know, be the voice of the people. In 2003, he was the only mainstream political leader to speak out against the Iraq war.
Was he the one who was a little bit ginger?
Yeah.
Ginger,
Scottish
dude. Yeah, he was a cool guy.
Yeah, he was really cool. And now look at these clowns that we're left with now, these sellout.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, charlatans, you know, where really they need to recognise what their role is. In 1997, Charles Kennedy said, "We are not the masters. The people are the masters. We are the people's servants." That's what your role should be if you are a politician. No doubt. Diane Abbott wrote a really cool piece about him today in The Guardian, saying standing up to oppose the Iraq war was a brave, shining example to all of us at Westminster. If only more politicians acted purely on principle like him. And here is a little clip of him speaking at the Stop the War protest that happened in 2003.
There's a sullen and it's an increasingly angry mood on the issue. And understandably so. Not least when Kofi Annan declares the war illegal, or when the Iraq Survey Group is expected to conclude that the weapons of mass destruction were not there at the time, and when even our own Foreign Office warned of the likely disastrous consequences. It's time we got an answer. And if the Prime Minister still refuses, then the people can make their judgment. Because the ultimate verdict is the general election itself.
So big ups to Charles Kennedy. Sadly passed away, but you know, to me, he exemplifies what politicians are meant to be. And last week on the show we had Homeboy Sandman, and he did a track which I think this week we can send out to Charles Kennedy.
What about Charles Farage? He's alright.
Charles Farage.
He should
Nigel Farage. Oh, my bad. I always get Nigel and Charles.
Nigel.
About Prince Nigel.
No, but big ups to you, Charles Kennedy. You're locked into FUBAR Radio. Remember, you can hit us up on Twitter at FUBAR Radio or Tuesday Drive at FUBARradio.com. It's Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2.
For real, this time.
Air Raid. That's Homeboy Sandman, Air Raid, Airwave, and he was on the show last week, so if you missed out
Homeboy
on that, definitely
Sandman.
Hit up the FUBAR website.
Where do you get a name like Homeboy Sandman from?
Well,
it's not his rapper name, that's his actual name.
That's his actual name, that's fair enough.
Parents, his mum was called Mrs.
Homeboy. Mr. and Mrs. Sandman.
Exactly. Well, shout out
Mrs.
Sandman. Her crazier names in hip-hop.
No, it's true.
like Doc Brown and things like that.
Yeah.
No.
Whack a flock of flame. That's going to be my name.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm settling with, guys.
See, that's the beauty of hip hop. You're free to express yourself however you choose. But no, seriously, check the podcast from last week's show with Sam Mann. He performed in London as well. He's on tour in the UK at the moment, and it was very fresh. And also performed last week was Pete Rock, who we're going to be hearing from later in the show. Yeah. So keep it locked to FUBAR Radio.
Number one. Yeah,
it was so super fresh. And going,
it's amazing.
I'll get into the goodness from the show as well. But later, too, we have Doc potentially rapping about anything.
Very possibly. Depends when those suggestions come in, really.
Yes.
If they come in nice and early, then I'll try and write it during the Pete Rock interview, you know, because I don't want to listen to what he's got to say.
I'll listen to what a legend has to say. Hungry rapper out here. Yeah, so make sure you hit us up at FUBAR Radio on Twitter, or you can email us too at tuesdaydrive@fubar.com FUBARradio.com.
Yeah, and
so,
give us suggestions for Dr. Rapperback. Give us any topic at all.
Yeah.
Any topic.
It could just
at all.
Be one word. It can be as stupid as you like. And
he'll
take
rap
it from
about
there.
He'll rap about it at the end of the show.
Yeah, I'll rap about anything, man.
Anything.
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 But you were saying before, while that tune was playing, you were talking about something you witnessed
Barbados.
In Barbados.
Yeah, no, it was just the day before yesterday. I went to this beautiful beach on the West Coast, which is where all the sort of millionaires hang out, you know.
What are you doing there?
I smuggled myself on, because a lot of those beaches, they're private to the hotels. So you go in there, and then some dude comes up like, "What are you doing here, boy?"
Yeah.
And you have to, and you get booted off. But also a lot of them have little public sections. So I went into the public section of this beautiful beach with a coral reef on it, and was chilling there, and the kids were splashing about in the sea. And, you know, every now and then go in there and, you know, muck about with them, play a bit of catch, whatever. And then I saw this other dad walk on, right? Ripped to shit. Whipped off his vest. It's just like exploded out of his vest.
You were admiring the
exploded
view.
Exploded out of his
vest.
Tatted
where's
up.
Where's a vest?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tatted up. And he had four kids with him, and he was like, "Okay, go play." He was American,
and they sounded American.
Yeah. And they ran off into the shallows, and he goes, "Okay, now walk towards me." And he pulled out this
careful.
Little camera.
Okay,
you know, this little camera. I was like, "Oh, that's sweet." He's, you know, get a few shots of his kids, and he's like, "Okay, slow it down." And he pulled out a tripod, and then put the camera on the tripod. And he goes, "Okay, now do it again, and then walk back, and then walk towards him again." He goes, "Okay, that's great." He goes, "Okay, now dive into the shallows." And he pulled out another camera out of a case, a flipping Steadicam thing that he put onto his chest.
Guan.
And he was like filming him on
Steadicam. He was committed. He was committed.
Then he started getting some establishers of the whole beach.
Ugh.
Then he gets out another case, opens it up, right? Pulls out a flipping drone.
Oh, God.
Attaches a GoPro to it. Puts his iPhone into this remote control thing in his hands, and then shoots the drone. Everyone's like, "What the fuck is that?"
Oh, God.
And then
to make a home movie.
Yeah. And then just to make a home movie. And then my kids started like asking me, like, "Can I do this? Can I do that?" I just looked to this guy and I was like, Dude,
what?
Just making us all look terrible. Yeah. It was
how?
Like one of those little floating islands.
You went
like, it was like Ultimate Dad.
Him.
It was one of those little islands, right?
Putting all the other dads on the beach to shame.
Like a floating island with benches on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife comes out and she's like, "Kids, race you to the island." And she dives into the sea like some Olympic swimmer and gets the island in like 2 seconds. And all the boys like start swimming after him. And then Dad jumps in. I thought, you know, like I say, he looked like a brick shit house. Like he was going to like go under the island and just lift the whole island up.
No,
like,
yeah.
I'm loving it. What's wrong with that?
Well,
he wasn't hurting nobody.
No,
it's
too perfect.
The grass is always greener, because you see a dad like that and you're like, "Oh my God, he's a cool dad. He's not a regular dad. He's a cool dad, but he's got all these things and got all these toys." But I guarantee you, mate, this is nothing to do with the kids. This is, he will be putting them to work at just about any situation. He'll be at a football match watching one of the kids, like, do it again. I didn't film it. I've got to edit that. I'm now going to go back to post-production.
It was
it's
going to
be a pain in the ass.
About him, no
a
question.
Massive pain in the ass. No
I wanted to interview his kids.
Yeah. I like how you're just assuming he's doing all, he's making the kids do this. There's something weird about him.
Too many gadgets.
Maybe he's just having fun on his holidays.
Maybe. But I'm a very judgmental man, Sarah. Yeah. Very judgmental.
Especially if they're making you look worse, isn't it?
No. I hate those great dads.
No, that sounds fun. No, but I tell you what, being in San Francisco earlier this year, seeing just like drones flying around the city.
Out of control right now.
It's because they're having to like bring in laws about how they're going to monitor.
They're going to take down an aircraft or something. Yeah. They could get so high.
Yeah,
I'm not even worried about that. I'm talking about like
anyone
surveillance.
Can buy them, like your privacy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, what if you have a drone that can just hover up to this window and watch you while you're sleeping?
That's a bit like Father Christmas, isn't it? I guarantee you perverts are all over the drone thing.
Oh, mate, with the flock of drones I've got, they can go up to about 20 stories easily. Yeah. And like mine can shoot around walls and stuff like that as well. So
I'm not even worried about the perverts. Yeah. I'm worried about the law. Yeah. I'm worried about the police.
Yeah, let's check out Dorm 8.
Yeah. Amazon looking at doing drone deliveries.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, maybe this is the future that we are facing, where it's going to actually be a much more practical way of doing things. But you reckon that's a kind of embarrassing dad behaviour?
Mm. Kind of, yeah. I mean, obviously he thought he was the shit, no question. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like, just spending a bit of quality time with the kids. Yeah. You know, it's basic.
They can make their own fun. Build a sandcastle. Yeah. Mm.
Tell them to look like they're having fun so I can film it from 17 different angles. to me, that's embarrassing dad behaviour.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But actually, when we do No They Didn't, we got some proper embarrassing dad behaviour. Yes.
Well, let's get into some No They Didn't, because we kind of been missing out on Doc's take on No They Didn't.
We have.
Since
we
you've
have.
Been away.
I'm just missing out on Doc, really.
On some Doc love.
My fragrance.
Yeah.
I haven't been missing that. Yeah. Not been missing that. But the glint in your
mask.
Eye.
Yeah, the glint. The glint and the musk.
So,
my new album.
The glint and the musk.
The glint and the musk.
That's got to be some like serious gangster.
It sounds like
rap
a really sketchy Disney film.
The glint and the musk.
That's really sketchy.
But I think we should do this. Let's do this.
Oh dear.
Well, you remember that music?
Oh
right?
My god! Like no.
All right, Doc. Who's blowing your mind this week, mate? Who's doing stuff to make you say no, they didn't?
Doc always does a really sexy lap dance for me when I play this tune.
Still got my Movember moustache.
Now that is embarrassing behaviour.
Doc Diggler. Yeah.
This week's No They Didn't is really just about unnecessary rapping, but it's also about embarrassing dads in a way. It's twofold.
There's a lot of unnecessary rapping going on constantly.
Listen, there's all sorts of unnecessary rapping, mainly from professional rappers. But what we don't need, in addition to that, is non-professional rappers coming in and having a go. Because anyone can do it. It's just talking, isn't it? To music. I'll have a bit of that.
You know what I mean? But I feel like so many people look at rap and they think, oh, that's easy enough.
Yeah, it's easy. I can do that.
It's the same way they look at playing drums and like, whatever.
Just whack it, don't you? Whack it. Whack it to the beat. 1, 2, 3, 4.
But no, what's been going on this week with the unnecessary rapping?
In the proud tradition of John Barnes, we've got two huge celebrities.
The John Barnes rapping. You remember John Barnes rapping?
John Barnes rap is legendary to be.
That was a classic.
At the same time. You can be slow or fast, but you must get to the line. They'll always hit you and hurt you.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Defend and attack.
I've got to add that to the playlist.
There's only one way to beat them.
Go around the back.
Oh, man.
I need to add that to the playlist and drop that in the club. I bet you if I drop that in the club, people would love it.
Now, Barnes, he got it right. Okay, he was like, I'm gonna spit this 16 in a mouth. Yeah, but then there's other dudes that think, no, maybe I could start a movement. Maybe I can make a real difference with my raps. And the two criminals that have undertaken this in the past couple of weeks are on different ends of the spectrum. Hollywood movie star Idris Elba,
right? Yeah.
And every mum's favourite celebrity chef Jamie Oliver.
Both for them in one, now, a double whammy in 1 week.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, different ends of the spectrum in terms of who they are, but very similar rap ability.
Yes,
very similar.
I've got a feeling about that.
Now, in a way, I kind of prefer Jamie's because he's got a very, very. He definitely knows he's shit.
I was going to say, he's not trying to be cool.
Is he rapping about food, though? Is he
Of
course he is. Of course he is.
On the remix, it's all pussy. Yeah. But like on the first one, It's just food.
Yeah, the B-side.
The remix is like a more of a metaphor.
B-side's cracking guns.
More about a metaphor of what to eat and what not to eat.
Is it with Fat Man Scoop too?
Fat Man Scoop! Jamie on the ball! Who's cooking tonight? Who's cooking tonight? Who's cooking tonight?
Shoot it up! Shoot it up!
Well, let's hear it. I want
to
hear it.
Like, yeah, we got it. I mean, they're two excellent artists, to be fair to them, that they're working with. Jamie Oliver with Ed Sheeran and Idris Elba with Skepta. Which, is probably a mistake.
Just it all sounds like one big hot mess to me. But why did this Jamie Oliver thing happen anyway?
Well, it's kind of a food. If you want to do a food revolution, I think, you know, he's probably been watching a bit too much Russell Brand and started thinking, hey, I've got enough followers to really change something. And listen, Jamie means well. He means well.
How
do you get down to the right place?
You spin around the chair, straddle it, lean on it with your elbows, and spit some bars. And that's exactly what Jamie did.
I've not heard this. Let's see how it goes.
I mean, amazing. Ed just came in to do a little bit of filming for me to support Food Revolution Day. I start telling him a few things, writing a few things down.
I spot.
And then he only went and
like he's preaching.
This is simple, but it might work.
Oh dear. So okay, let's check this out.
I've got to go and make it. Find all the musicians and do it.
Say what?
My name is Jamie Oliver. I'm here to say I want to talk about Food Revolution Day. Half the world is starving with too little to eat, and the other half die from being obese. How people live their lives, they grow and they cook, learn recipes from your parents or books. If you haven't got a clue about the mess that we're in, the answer lies here in the words that we sing.
Hands in the air, everybody!
The weird thing about it just sounds so outdated. You know, this is the kind of thing that they used to do in the 80s, you know?
This is what Chesley Hawkes would have done if he tried to do a rap record.
So let's rap about it. I think the thing that annoys me about this is the earnestness of it. You could have done it in so many different ways, but to try and be earnest in it just
and
makes
deep.
It...
Try and be deep and earn it. Like, his heart is in the right place.
Of course
and I'm
it
appreciating
of course
the
it
sentiment,
is.
But so, musically, this is appalling. Won this
fight. We're the only ones who can save our lives. Click the link below for the petition to sign.
It doesn't take time, so you need to just bear it. Click the link below for the petition to sign. Share it. Revolution.
We need to feed the kids rap for their stomachs and their minds.
Shame. I'm sorry. Professor
Shame
Green. No, wasn't that Professor Green's voice?
It had to be pro. It had to
you
be.
You should feel embarrassed.
I just couldn't do it. You know what? If they ask me, I'd say, I'll do my own one. I'll just do my own one.
You'd be like, oh, actually, yeah, I'm good. Busy that day.
I'll do my own one. I'll do my own one.
Wow.
There's a way of making this cool. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
His poor kids. His poor kids would be mortified by it. There's a really funny thing trending, hashtag over the weekend, rapper dads, where they were just literally like talking about stuff like that.
Okay,
you know,
let's stop that. I think I've heard enough of that. Yeah. Please make it stop.
Well, one of the tweets was, Tyler, the I created you.
I like that.
This is my favourite, I think. Bone Thugs and now on eHarmony after the divorce.
They're like heroes in Australia, aren't they?
It's hard to be a rapping dad, though. Like that.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It is. It's hard to be a rapping dad.
No, it's not.
Even if you are, because you're a rapping dad.
Yeah.
And even if you, you know, say you have cred for what you've done as a rapper, even still in your in your kids' eyes, do you think you could never be cool for them? Or how does it work?
No, you can't. No. I mean, like, I'm cool to, like, some of my kids' friends because they see me on TV or whatnot. But even that will be on the wane soon, you know? Because kids get
Because
older
you haven't got a drone with a GoPro attached to it on the beach.
Either I've got to buy a drone or I've got to be 15 years younger. Because basically what will happen is, you know, soon my eldest will get into, like, early teens and whatnot. And then, like, they are the rulers of what is cool. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't care how cool you think you are as a parent, you're going to be second to it. So everything you do is going to be embarrassing. Everything. And that's what you got to kind of prepare yourself for. And if you don't recognize it, it's going to be even worse. Next thing you know, you'll be wearing Merrells. You know,
Merrells?
Merrells. You know those shoes?
No, what's
you know,
that?
So they're like hiking trainers. That's all you need to know.
No, or the shape up hiking trainers.
Yeah, as my friend Stuart Goldsmith once famously said, he
purely
said,
practical.
Merrells, it's a look that says, I'm not wearing a fleece, but I own one.
But I do. No,
how's this though, right? So obviously, like we were just saying, like you're never going to be your kids. You're never going to be cool to your kids. It's just it's just a fact of life, right? But what about if your dad decided to rap in the car and film it and put it on the internet and it went viral and had over millions and millions of hits? Yo, check this out.
This happened for real.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It should be Dad Rappers right there.
Ow, on who, on what?
This is the exciting bit that's going to be edited out of the podcast.
Yes, this is the part where I display my professional prowess.
This, in my opinion, is about as bad as it can get. Yeah. Can get as a rapper dad.
Oh, nice. Mm.
Is this it? Is this correct?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, we're in. We're in.
Can I get 2 Big Macs?
Okay.
2 apple pies.
That is not it at all. You have to tell where these things are, Hugh. But you know, rapping. I mean, embarrassing parents. I know we can all relate to embarrassing
there
parents.
We go, there we
so,
go.
Okay,
check
we
this
have.
Out. Check this out. Check this out.
We have
oh,
it.
This
now.
Is the rapper. Oh,
all right, we gotta do something off the top of my head here.
Oh,
a message. So here's a little message from the rapping dad. I got my kids in the back and we always have a blast. Gotta keep the lyrics clean if you know what I mean. No more Nicki Minaj and a twerking machine from Kim Kardashian, you a mom. Do you need an intervention? And Miley, no more wrecking ball. Put on some clothes, where's Hannah, y'all? Where's Hannah Montana?
Messages.
Where's Hannah Montana? Hey.
Look, it's bad enough if your dad does that anyway. Just even if it does it privately to you, but if he does it in front of your friend and then they make a video of it and over a million people have now seen this. Unbelievable.
So he didn't
That's
know he was being filmed.
No, he did. He was just trying to. I think he was just trying to be cool dad. He's not a regular dad. He's a cool dad.
I think that is cool.
I think that's message, really though. Embarrassing. That's really
never,
embarrassing.
Never have a message.
No,
That's really important.
Never have a message.
take it from me.
Oh God.
I didn't think that was bad at all. But what did you guys think? Like, I know we can all relate to being super. I mean, my goodness me, my parents are pretty out there people. So, love you so much, daddy, and everything. But yes. So I'm definitely not short on like embarrassing stories from my parents, but you guys, let us know what you have to say. Tweet us at twitter.com/foobartradio or hit us with the email tuesdaydrive@foobartradio.com. Like, do you have embarrassing parents? Are you an embarrassing parent?
Yeah,
we need to know.
Hey, I'll tell you. I'll tell you a story up next when my mum decided to become a B-girl.
A B-girl.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's very, very, very awkward. Very awkward.
That sounds way cool.
Well, it sounds cool. I mean, I'll tell you the story up next.
On paper.
It's still scarring. It's still scarring.
KRS-One on Fubar Radio. You're tuned into Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. I think KRS-One, I wonder if his kids find him embarrassing.
Because
he's the blast master.
Yeah.
Which I can kind of relate to because my dad always has the loudest voice anywhere we are. So, and then it's funny being at church with my dad. He's always the voice that is cutting through above everyone else's, and you're just standing there like, oh my goodness, even though, but at the same time, I think my dad's the coolest dad in the world. So maybe that's how KRS-One's kids feel about him.
Can I just say a massive shout out to John Kelly on Twitter for being the first one with a rap about anything suggestion after I suggested that they should be, you know, irreverent, fun things. He suggested Ebola. So thanks a lot, John. I'm sure that'll be a laugh for me.
Nail on the head, mate. Nail on the head, yeah.
We'll give that a bash at 5 to 6.
Oh, God.
Although he did put E-Bola, so maybe that's just his rap name.
Could be. We're talking about
that. That's how lethal he is on the mic.
That is Ebola. I apologize.
Sorry.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we were talking embarrassing dads, rapper dads also as well, because of obviously Jamie Oliver's whole thing where he's released a track for Food Revolution. So we've been talking about embarrassing parents. And my mom, she's such a legend. Like, I adore it. Absolutely adore it. But she's wild. She's just wild. So this is quite a few years ago when a bunch of B-boys came over to my house. We were organising a party, so they came over. We were just doing some plotting and scheming and stuff. And Mum comes in. This is a long time ago. I would have been probably, I was still living at home, so I was probably like, 17, 18 or something like that. And she comes in and she's like, oh, you're all dressed interestingly. What are you doing with your, why have you got one leg rolled up and your hats are all funny? And oh, look at that. And I was just like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry about that. Just absolutely mortified. 5 minutes later, she comes back in. I want to do that too. And she came back in with us. She found one of my hats in the lounge room, twisted it sideways, rolled her pants up, one of her legs up, and starts doing this little jig in front of all these people. And I was just like, Mom, what are you doing to me?
Bless her.
And she did it for ages then as well. Like every now and then she'd just pull out a B-girl.
A for effort.
I know.
Fantastic. I mean, I take my parents to all my shows. In London, they come to my hip-hop gigs. I've taken my dad to see Wu-Tang Clan, who are actually performing this week in London, like, you know, you can rap to my dad about Lil Wayne to, you know, all these people. That's, I don't give a damn, man. Like, if he's enjoying the moment, that's all that I care about.
Yeah, yeah. But Doc, you're you know, you're a parent. I wonder if it's kind of your right as a parent to be able to embarrass your kids. Is that something you want?
Yeah, because you kind of lose everything else. You sacrifice everything else about you. So it's just one of your last little shows of strength, I think.
Yeah.
At the very least, if I can't control you, I'm going to embarrass the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I think the sports day before last, I got really into it.
Mm.
And I nearly went arse over tits, just right at the very end. You know, when you get older, you haven't sprinted for a long, long time. It's been a long time since you've properly sprinted for anything.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're a kid, you're sprinting all the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of forgotten how to run like that fast.
But it was too late because you were already committed.
I'd done that thing where you're like, your head sort of starts to dip. And like your knees, looks like you're going to knee yourself in the face and you lose all sense of gravity.
Sorry, were you meant to be taking part in a race?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't just suddenly appear and start racing.
You meant you were running alongside.
It was the dad's
race.
Okay. I love the dad's race every year because the dads are all pretend that they're not taking it seriously.
Mm.
And they sort of like pretend they're not stretching.
The most
important
race of the day.
And pretend they didn't just buy running shoes. They didn't just buy brand new running shoes from JJB
Sports.
Down
the Red Bulls.
Yeah. But yeah, no, last year I came third. I was quite proud of that.
Really? Even after you nearly died.
But this year, we want to see first place.
I think this year is going to be real tough because my kids are in a new school and it's a lot more hood than the last school, which means the dads are going to be way younger.
Yeah.
It's a nice middle class.
I like how you're already strategizing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a nice middle class school where the dads are all old.
Yeah.
Then you're
kids
at a sensible age.
Yeah, but we're talking about embarrassing parents. Maybe you're an embarrassing parent, or times you've been embarrassed by your parents, or maybe it continues.
Yeah,
you're hitting us up at tuesdaydrive@foodbarradio.com.
So yeah, we got Erin from Essex. She says, my mum is always calling me and checking up on me. Like when I'm on the train home, she rings me to ask if I get home okay. I know she just cares, but when I'm with my friends, it's a little bit embarrassing. Also, I'm 24.
Aww.
See, caring mum, she just wants to know, but it's still, that is still embarrassing though. My mum still calls me Tuppence. She's my little baby boy. Mum, I'm 33.
That's a girl's, all right? That's a girl's name as well.
And Tuppence. It's a girl's name. It's not cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me feel good.
I just personally think parents ultimately have the license to say or do whatever the hell they want, because, you know, and you just got to take it on the chin and then you vent it once you're a parent and just pass that shame onto the next generation.
Yeah, I think family is all about passing shame down.
Yes. Humiliation really and shame.
Hannah, who is from nowhere, says, hello.
She's from the universe, man.
She's from the universe. When I go out for a drink or dinner with my dad and we're sat on a table of four, he insists on sitting next to me. People have thought we were dating before, and once a hot man told me I like them too old. I wanted the ground to open up and swallow me whole.
Oh.
Poor Hannah.
Hey, is that Hannah? I get that often.
This is embarrassing parents. This isn't fucking counselling, Hannah. That's way further than embarrassing parents.
I know, that's like an unintentionally embarrassing you. No, but I get that a lot because most people look at me, they think I'm black. My father is white British. So when we're out together in a restaurant or something, people are like, okay.
I'm like,
just take that props and run with it, daddy.
Thanks for getting in touch, though. Thanks for getting in touch.
Guys, and keep getting in touch at foodbarradio.com. If you want to email us, it's studio@foodbarradio.com, or just tweet us at foodbarradio. It's nice and easy.
Yes, we love hearing from you guys, and make sure you keep it locked because coming up very soon, we're going to be hearing from a literal legend in the hip hop game, Mr. Pete Rock. We have a super fly interview coming up from him for you. Now, this guy, before that, he definitely can't be blamed for being an embarrassing parent. And I would say he is certified one of the greatest artists of all time. And what made me think of playing this, I was DJing last week with the Jar Shaka sound system at the Love Saves the Day Festival in Bristol. And this was the first tune they played. So just props to them. And David Rodigan absolutely tore it down. Nice. It's Bob Marley. You're locked into FUBAR.
Of course, you're wrong about Bob Marley.
What, how am I wrong about Bob Marley?
Well, he is an embarrassing parent, or he was an embarrassing parent.
Why?
Well, because he had like 20 kids.
Careful now.
He did.
He had like 20 kids, and he wasn't the father to any of them.
Are you sure about that?
No, yeah. He did. I think he quite literally had either nine or ten kids. I went to a product launch for House of Marley, the headphones. I think it was his younger son, Rowan. I think it might have been Rowan Marley.
Oh, everyone knows about Rowan.
But
Marley.
Man, it was so weird. he's like, this is a big business, but it's for the people. It's for about one love, one vibration. That's why I used the money to buy a coffee plantation in Jamaica. And now I've got the power. It's all about having the power. And everyone looked at him and was like, what the hell's going on? He's like, I mean, one love. I mean, and we was like, yeah, that was really weird. That was very, very
Don't
strange.
Don't do that accent again.
The one love drink as well. The one love energy drink. That's pretty embarrassing.
Oh, that was shameful, though. That was shameful. I DJed for Sadella Marley, who was his first born child, because she was designed. She's a fashion designer nowadays, but she designed the Jamaican Olympic uniform, and it was like all inspired by Bob and everything. And that was kind of like a respectful way that they did it. It wasn't just sort of like, yeah, let's slap his face on it. But what I hate is when you go into certain shops and you see how they just take a photo of Bob Marley and sell it in like these nasty chain stores, and you just think, seriously, like, would he have actually co-signed to have his face on there?
Rihanna sued Top Man over that, didn't she, on a Top Shop?
Did she?
Yeah,
she
did. they just had a t-shirt with her face on it. She's like, what the hell?
But it's interesting because I think a lot of that depends on who owns the rights to the image, isn't it? Rather than necessarily the artist themselves. That's how they get away with doing this nonsense.
Yeah, I suppose the photographer sold it.
Hey, just quickly as well, we got one more embarrassing parent story emailed through to tuesday.drive@fubarradio.com. It's from Sammy from Bromley saying, my dad does this thing when I'm out with him where he'll do the Cockney walk to embarrass me, and sometimes he'll walk with a limp. It's not just embarrassing, it's just plain weird.
That is really weird.
That is really weird.
But I like that it's a dedicated piece of embarrassment. He's like, right, I'm going for this now. Yeah. Perfect timing.
But that's what I was saying with my friend the other day about how, you know, the Del Boys and that whole Del Boy bowl and everything. These are people who are a dying breed. Like, you used to see these people, but now, because it's like these neighbourhoods don't actually exist anymore, you don't see your Del Boys and that. So I'm giving props to the big ups to the dad for maintaining the
and to everyone
Cockney
out there
bowl.
With their Cockney necks.
What's a Cockney neck now?
You know those people who walk with their they walk with their fucking neck like that. It's just the neck, mate. The shoulders back.
I love it.
They look like they're carrying two buckets of water or something like that. Hey. The arms hanging back like that.
I fucking love Cockney's people.
You're tuned into Fubar Radio with myself, Sarah, Hugh and Doc Two. Now, you guys, have you heard of this Thug Life business that's been floating around on the interweb?
Yes, it's been going on for a while. It's funny stuff, man.
I knew nothing of it until my 11-year-old niece was like talking to me about Thug Life. I was just like, what are you talking about? So my little niece put me up on this Thug Life business. But yes, there are some quite funny pieces. I don't know if you guys have seen any of them.
There's tons. There are all sorts of different stuff, you know what I mean? Things like
there's
anything. There's
like
one where there's
it was just a bird.
Yeah, going into
flying.
A shop.
It was just a bird flying, like I don't know, like a blue tit or something.
I think you're watching David Attenborough.
Had the wings like right up next to its body. Do you know what I mean? So it was just. It looked really proud. It was just flying through the air like a bullet.
Go on.
And then he just put hashtag thug life.
That's me.
I love
you know
it.
Because
there's another
bird one where it's a seagull wanders into an off license or something like that, grabs a pack of crisps, bounces
that
back out, boom.
Life.
Thug life, you know what I mean? It's all sort of stuff. There's been so many.
They're not all bird related, by the way.
They're not all bird related.
I did see another one yesterday.
Oh, those are the ones that you follow.
Had a bagel around its neck. There's a pigeon with a bagel stuck on its head.
Oh, that's lunch on the go. Lunch on the go.
Got my lunch sorted. Thug life.
There's a lot. There's another one that was on Facebook this week where it was a guy on Judge Judy, and she was like, so, you know, she's telling him off or something that he was done. He'd ripped off someone, all this money, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, yeah, well, I slept with your daughter.
To Judy.
To Judge Judy. And she goes, like, what? What did you just say? And he's like, yeah, you heard me. He's like, it might be your show, but this is my episode. Thug Life. It's like, wow.
That's amazing.
He's like, how can I get to her?
Well, how can I get to her? It's your show, but it's my episode, lady.
Chat about the daughter. Now, I saw a pretty cool one. It's this dude called Neil deGrasse Tyson. Have you heard of him?
I've met him, man.
I love him.
Check this out. I had beers with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And your man, who used to be in D-Ream, Brian Cox. Brian Cox and Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson is possibly the most intelligent man on earth. Mm. black guy from the Bronx.
He's not smarter than my dad.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, I'm joking. No, my dad's also an astrophysicist, but yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson is a, yeah, my dad's bona fide scientist. But I was going to say,
he might be a bit smarter than your dad. He's an astrophysicist. Yeah. But your dad's an astrophysicist. So fair enough. Fair enough, Trumpy.
Neil deGrasse Tyson
somehow is able to explain, similar to Brian Cox, but even more so, the most complicated concepts known to man and woman in just a really accessible way. And he's a great guy.
But he does it in a way that's not annoying.
Yes, that's very true.
Brian Cox, the way he speaks is just really annoying.
Look out for Brian Cox's rap about the stars.
Yeah, oh my God, let's hope he doesn't do a Jamie Oliver and start trying to spit bars.
Oh, God, scary.
But Neil deGrasse Tyson, he has a really cool quote, actually. He says, the good thing about science is that it's true whether or not you believe in it.
Yeah,
so
I like that.
That gets a big signal on my behalf. But yeah, he had a very cool thug life that I saw pop up. Check this out.
The other day I was watching this thing about pyramids, and people truly believe that the technology to build pyramids wasn't of this earth, because at the time the pyramids were being made.
So it was Europeans coming to Africa, seeing an amazing civilization that they could not imagine an African build, and they must then invoke some other cause that enabled them to build it. Excuse me, clever people come in all colors, all right?
Okay.
So just because you can't figure out how somebody built a pyramid doesn't mean the people who built the pyramid got help from aliens. That's all I'm saying.
So,
just admit that you're not as smart as the people who built a pyramid and end the conversation there. Fuck the police coming straight from the
underground. A young nigga got his back because I'm brown. That was pretty gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you see, he broke it down in a simple way where it's like, really, you can't argue that, can you?
I watched him speak for like 3 hours.
That's amazing.
At the Science Museum. And he was constantly entertaining. Aww. Funny. You know, obviously super smart, but that sums him up, man.
Yeah.
He's got such a great turn of phrase. I thought he was a fantastic guy.
Oh, I love him. I
big
love
guy,
science.
Big heart.
And yeah, just to see people who are engaging, you know, people in science, getting people interested in science. Because I think a lot of people feel that it's just some subject that's out there, there's nothing to do with them. But no, this explains our lives.
When it's people as well that you can't really connect to on any level like that as well.
It just becomes noise.
You just naturally just lose interest in it, no matter what they're saying.
It's like how this show must sound to losers.
Ooh, thug life.
That's a dig.
Dr. Kenneth Brown, thug life.
But yes, you are tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. And we have a super special interview just about to come up for you with the one and only Pete Rock. I'm so sorry that you weren't there. I mean, Michael did a fantastic job of sounding in for you.
Listen, I'm sure he did. I am so gutted that I missed it, but I can't wait to hear it. What I'm really gutted is I didn't get to ask the man himself, why the hell did you rap on records?
Mm.
I mean, he is the greatest, one of the greatest producers I think I've ever heard in rap. But his rapping, whoo! he was giving Jamie Oliver a run for his money. No question about it.
No, don't even.
Listen,
there's people
classics listening
right now who don't know anything about Pete Rock. Don't put them down to the Jamie Oliver level again.
That's true. That's true.
Let's give the man the props where he's due.
Absolute legend from the CL Smooth days. I mean, I love both of their albums, The Main Ingredient, and was the first one just called Soul Brother Number One?
Yeah, Mekron Soul Brother.
Oh, Mekron Soul Brother.
Yeah, the first album was Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and then Oh My Days, that first solo album in '98.
Yes,
Soul Survivor.
Yeah, and he was performing last week in London because he's on tour at the moment with De La Soul, which was really cool. Went to the show with Michael.
Chad
we made
Daylon.
It. Hugh couldn't make it
I
to the show.
Wales.
And that was kind of gutting too.
I had to choose either my dad or Pete Rock. It was my dad just came
by
up.
Hair's breadth.
Only just.
By hair's breadth. But no, I mean, it was just so ill to see, to hear his set, because obviously, like, Pete Rock is a proper DJ, but then it was just kind of mind-blowing, the catalogue that this guy has under his belt.
That's
like,
ridiculous.
You know, the names is just like, it's hard to think of a name in hip hop who hasn't been, you know, a credible name in hip hop who hasn't been graced by people.
Who doesn't want to work with him as well? Do you know what I mean? Because, like, still, that's one of the beautiful things about being a producer over a rapper. Do you know what I mean? You can, it's not if easier, but you got a bigger opportunity, I think, to stay relevant throughout the eras.
And DJs.
You know what I'm saying? And DJs as well. It's much harder for rappers. And I think with Pete, he's still, to this day, even the hottest rappers is going to want a beat rock beat if they can get hold of one on their shit.
And he hasn't compromised at all. Either,
no, it's still that Pete Rock sound. Crunchy, SB1200 drums. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, someone who's made a career out of keeping it real, as cheesy as that sounds. But, you know, so it's examples like that that I think are proof that it's possible. So for us, it was just so dope to get a chance to sit down with the dude.
Incredible.
And then, yeah, catching his... What are some of your favourite Pete Rock tunes, Don?
Well, I'd say probably my absolute utter favourite, bar his verse, is the game with Ghostface.
Ooh, give me a high five to that. That's my jam.
Ghostface, Raekwon, and
that
Prodigy.
That is my jam. I was actually going to play that today.
That beat is...
nasty!
Oh, good. It's like the essence
nasty.
Of just ridiculous rap. Also, I mean, the early work he did with Nas, I mean, can't be denied. Fantastic.
Well, you might hear all about
remix.
That in the
interview.
You never know what treats you might be in store for in this interview.
At the gig, because obviously he's releasing Peach Mentals too. Did he play a lot of stuff you'd never heard before? And
no,
what was
it was
happening?
More like a DJ set where he played. What was really cool was him playing a lot of the samples and then his tunes. But yeah, just going through his whole catalogue. And then before that, he did like a whole set of hip hop, not produced by him. But just such an ill selection of tunes. And the party was just pumping. The house was packed. The Soul were there, so it was pretty damn super fly. And big up to my main man Kish, who went down with me also to the show. And,
Kish Kash.
Not Kish Kash, not that Kish. Kish, Broken Soul Boy Kish, I know you're out there tuned into the show. But yes, so let's get into this interview. It is a goodie.
Wicked.
There's some dope tunes in there for you as well. You're locked into FUBAR.
You got a new album dropping. Give that album a plug. What's the deal?
June 23rd, Peach Mentals 2. I'm very excited about it. It's just part 2 to part 1. It's just a continuation of inspiration for people to apply to their lifestyle, that's all.
So why another Peach instrumental album? Like, why not collab with some rappers?
I do it because I notice how much people love instrumentals. You know what I'm saying? Some people don't like to hear people rapping over, you know, some people do. But I do it because I'm passionate about it and I love what I do, so.
But such a long gap though as well since the last Peach instrumental.
Sometimes you know you do it when it's right, you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes people, you know, when you put out something good, they want something good 5 months later again. But you know, I like to not really, you know what I mean, like make people sick of me, you know what I'm saying? So put a gap between it and make people want it.
No, it's not possible for people to get sick of you. You're like a cornerstone in hip-hop. I would say, without doubt, you're king of the remix. It's like you and Large Professor, you got to be up there. For me, my favourite remix of yours is probably Shut 'Em Down.
Oh, thank you.
What's your favourite Pete Rock remix?
Probably that. And Dos FX and House of Pain. The list goes on. I mean, I've done a lot of remixes, but those three stand out.
Yeah, and then there's some like undercover ones which people sleep on a lot, the Jamal Fade Zamal, stuff like that. How'd you go about doing a remix though? Do you just put the acapella to a beat?
I was homies with Eric and Parrish, and that's how that happened. You know what I'm saying? They used to come over to the crib. Well, Eric and Redman, they used to be in my basement. You know what I mean? Like before we even had record deals and everybody's just having fun with beats and music. And I ended up remixing Rampage for EPMD.
Another one I love.
And then, and that's how I got the Jamal remix. The homies like Rock Wilder and Eric and Parrish and Al B, you know, I met them all. You know what I'm saying? They were all cool, and I actually did a cookout for P one time.
So take us through like making a beat for you now, because I know like you're a big fan of the SP-1200 sampler, yeah? Are you still messing with that? Are you using MPCs or what's? How does Pete Rock make a beat?
I'm on the MPC now. I got like a billion beats on the SP. I've mastered that machine. You know what I'm saying? I'm on to the next thing, but people still use it. You know, it still gives you a great sound. Actually, better than all this new stuff that's out. You know, just go in the basement and manifest something. Ideas are always in my head. My mind is constantly a beat. Music, you know what I'm saying? I'm always thinking about beats and music. And when I'm in the studio, that's when I get in music mode.
How much time do you spend making music every week?
I used to make a lot of beats a day back when I first started. I mean, a ridiculous amount of beats, because all I did was stay in in my house doing that. That's, or I didn't come outside. So, but right now, I'm probably making about 6-7 beats every other day.
Incredible.
Once I'm on. So I try to make as much as possible for that day. And then I quit. And then, you know, start again.
And then the digging process then, how do you go about finding your samples and things?
Going to these record stores and being in there for hours, getting dirty and sneezing and coughing. You learn to wear a mask now, wear gloves, because there's dust that you're dealing with. You know what I mean? I'm all over the world with it. And a lot of the places that I go to, some of the places are not too clean.
For real? Well, that's why they call it dusty fingers, isn't it? Where's your favorite place to dig?
Probably Japan. Japan has bought the whole... I think they bought... Yeah, in the world. I think they have...
But you got to pay for it out there, too.
Yeah, their prices is a little ridiculous. I mean, I see vinyl there for sale for like $5,000 for one record, man. But it's something that's not going to be in your face every day. It's crazy.
I know you're probably completely sick to death of talking about this, but you know, the split up with CL Smooth, like it, all we really got was sort of bits and pieces of information through the media, but it sort of seemed a little bit like they were trying to play you beefing quite heavily against each other. But what actually, could you sort of break it down to hear it directly from your mouth?
Pains in the game,
and
man.
Are you guys cool now? Or?
Yeah, we all right. You know what I'm saying? It's just growing pains in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really like to elaborate and talk about it without him here or without him explaining his side of the story. Fair so I just say, look, man, you know, we were kids. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's what it is when your mind is under mature.
Yeah.
You know, which we were all that way at one time in hip-hop, so...
So I don't know if you've heard, but Kanye West is headlining our biggest festival, Glastonbury, and he's quoted as saying that he is the next Pete Rock. What do you think about that, honestly?
Kanye's my boy, man. I ain't taking no offense to that. You know, because I'm still out here, you know what I'm saying? I'm still passionate. I'm still loving what I do. And when I heard him say that, I said, oh, man, my work didn't go in vain. That's, you know what I'm saying? He didn't have to say anything about me. Because then I would have been offended. Like, man, you're rapping and you're talking all this about you, but you're not...
mentioning the forefathers.
There you go.
So who have you been working with recently, then?
Recently, who I have a list that I'm going to work with. But I can't really say it yet.
Yes, you can. It's amongst friends.
It's bad luck to say something that didn't happen yet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to pray on it and make sure it happens.
I won't tell anybody. You can tell me. It's cool.
Can I make a special request that you do a collaborative album with Joey Badass?
Oh, I mean, we've done something before, but it was just a test. It was a good record, but we never used it. But I'm a fan, so I would probably work with him. Yeah.
100%.
I like Schoolboy Q, and I like Kendrick, and I like Absol. And I know they all from the same clique, but they're dope.
And producers-wise, actually, who are you feeling?
Oh, man. Dilla, Alchemist, Premier, Knots.
Because you and Primo, you have done a lot of tours together. You do that sort of whole Versus thing as well. How heated does it get between you guys? Two absolute heavyweight legends.
Stop beating up Primo.
Yeah.
That's what he said to me about you.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool. We have fun. We're brothers, man. You know, we do what we do, man. And it's all about the funk with us, man. We come from a soulful, funky background.
Because you met James Brown when you were like a kid, yeah?
When I was 7 years old.
Wow. How was that?
It was 1977. And boy, I wasn't the same since, man. I think he passed along something through my hands in that shake.
What did he say to you?
God bless me. And I think he did.
In that golden era, was it all camaraderie between you and other producers? When you think of an album like Illmatic, how you had Large Professor, you, Primo, all doing that.
Quietly, we're going at each other.
in it. Yeah, because it feels like you're sparring, but it's in a good way because you're kind of kicking each other up the ass.
I'm secretly listening to what they're doing. I'm saying, I'm listening to Ain't Hard to Tell. I'm like, I'm listening to a Primo song. Like, I gotta, what am I gonna do? And then I go in and I start picking through beats I already made. And when Nas came over, I kind of just was doing that, playing beats, and then played that one. And he froze. And he was like, hold on. I was getting ready, you know, change the beat. He was like, nah, the idea was going.
For What World Is Yours?
Yeah. And then he said to me quietly, like, look, I want you to sing the hook. And I was like, nah, you want me to sing? Oh, I can't sing, bro. He's like, nah, I just want you to do it like this. Then he started doing it. Whose World Is This? And I was just repeating it. And I was like, oh, that's what you want? I said, all right, let me see what it sound like. But if I don't like it, don't do it.
How do you feel about the state of radio in the US? I mean, the way it's just become so corporatized is quite different to what we experience here in Europe.
Yeah, I like satellite radio. You know, it's just any and everything goes. You know, like your immediate local radio stations. You know what I'm saying? It's just gotten real, like, strict muzzle on your head, not letting your feelings, you know, express. And it's nothing different, man. They play this music, and it's just like 2 minutes apart. They cramming this strip club music down your throat. It's only a few of it that I like that shines through, but the younger cats like Kendrick, ASAP, Joey Badass, those people who have something to say that I listen to. We actually need more MCs like them in the game, the Drakes, them type of dudes.
So talking about radio, because you got on Marley Marl's show when you were like 16 or 17, something like DJing for that. Like, was that?
That was through Heavy D. That happened through my cousin Heavy D. Oh, really? You know, he's bragging to Marley about me. And Marley gave me a shot, man. That was one of the best moments of my life.
You must have been the youngest person on radio for sure.
Yeah, I was. Well, yep. And I was an understudy of like Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, Marley. I loved radio. I was into the DJs. Frankie Crocker, Ken Spiderweb, Shep Pettibone, Timmy Regisford, you know, guys that who really put it down in the 80s on radio. And I took that format a little bit and applied it to what I do in music and DJing.
You shouted out a lot of important names there. Why is it important to acknowledge the people who have gone before us?
It's just a natural thing you're supposed to do. You know what I mean?
Why though? Because I feel like there's a lot of kids now who there's a complete disconnect happening there.
Because those same people inspired me. And you're not supposed to really forget the people who instilled, you know, what they did with their work into you. You know, I have kids now, 9 and 16, that listen to my music and listen to the radio. You know, I just kind of teach them about hip-hop in the 80s, like Eric B's and Rakim's and Nice and Smooth's, Gangstar, all kind of greatness that happened then. And even talk to them about the earlier days before that. Bambaataa, Kool Herc, those guys were very important to the culture. They had a big hand in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel the counter brainwashing is important, you know, for the kids, because it's kind of like they're just getting one channel of information.
Brainwash the kids with the realness.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, you know, because what hip hop has gotten so big, you can pick and choose what you like. Commercial radio comes with the territory. It's cool to do maybe one or two songs like that, but you're supposed to make music from the heart. You know what I'm saying?
For real. And so what kind of sound is it that we're going to be hearing on the Peachtrumentals 2? Is it still that classic Pete sound?
Same as one, but just two. Just difference. Just a little bit of a difference. But it's still it's a continuation.
So you haven't gone down some trap route or something?
No, not yet.
Thank you.
Left, right.
Just stay right there, okay? Because we all appreciate it and we need that goodness. How do you feel about the whole trap movement and everything?
To teachers, no disrespect, but, you know, we're entitled to our opinions. Mm-hmm. So I say, you know, I pass on the strip club music, but some of the southern rappers I like Ludacris and Outkast.
I wouldn't even categorize that. I don't even see them as necessarily being anything to do with trap.
They have something to say. They spitting. And T.I. too. T.I. is dope. And, you know, Rick Ross, you know, these guys, they do their thing. Trap is something, it's just a part of hip-hop now. You can choose to like it or not, you know what I mean? But, you know, you have spectrums of hip-hop now, you know what I mean? And realness is where I'd like to be.
Do you differentiate between rap and hip-hop?
Yeah,
Why rap. And how?
Well, rap to me is the trap, you know, that type of stuff. That's rap. Hip hop is MCs and cats who have something to say.
Are you playing many live instruments on Peach Metals too?
I play bass. I make up all my bass lines, and I'm a musician.
So maybe we can look forward to a Pete Rock band in the future.
Yeah, of course, definitely. And I'm going to put the funkiest band ever together. Yes. Great air for that.
You've kind of already answered this question, but if you were to make Pete Strumentals 2 again and you had to have, well, obviously it wouldn't be called Pete Strumentals if you had MCs on it, but who would you have on it?
You know what? That may happen. That may happen. I'm just going to drop the instrumental first and do a vocal album of Pete Strumentals 2. I'm going to grab up some guys and make the songs. You know what I'm saying?
Back to MCs, but basically from this side of the pond now, are you aware of the sort of new stable of MCs or even just MCs in general, like UK MCs?
I am. I just bad with names. You know what I'm saying?
That's but what
I listen to the music and I like it. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can hear the passion and the love of the culture. Mm. You can definitely hear it. And it moves me to see people from abroad loving what we started in New York. You know what I mean?
You seem like definitely someone that is always trying to look outside of the box of what can I do now, stretch this, stretch that. Is there anything that you haven't done yet musically that you would like to do?
Yeah, definitely. Probably some EDM. I love challenges, you know. So I believe I could do anything, but I would definitely try something like that or just anything else that's dope, that'll sound good and different.
You sing on the EDM track?
maybe if I'm like, you know, drunk or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I hear a dope beat and go in there and just play around. But I'm working, so.
Always
look forward to a lot of Pete Rock coming.
That classic Pete Rock sound. This cut is called Heaven and Earth, taken from Pete Strumentals Volume 2, which is going to be dropping at the end of this month. And of course, just then you were listening to myself, Hugh, and Michael Payne speaking to the main man before his show in London. He's on tour in the UK at the moment with De La Soul. That was so Mike Fresh.
Awesome, mate. Can I just say as well, Sarah Love, absolutely stellar job on cutting that all together.
No.
Absolutely, man. It was epic. Well done.
No, that's
yes,
unimportant.
Come on,
but how
yourself.
Did it feel? How did you enjoy meeting and speaking to Pete Rock, Hugh?
Man, like straight up and down, that's kind of like some bucket list stuff, you know what I mean?
Aww.
It really is. To come across someone like that, as legendary, as seminal as Pete Rock, it's like, I'm just like, wow, you know what I mean? Wow, it was just incredible.
And you know, I think you get a lot of people on that level of achievement who really struggle to sound humble. They're really trying.
Yeah, it's true.
You're really trying to sound humble. Like, listening to that, it just sounded like effortless. It's not even an issue. The guy's born humble. I think with a lot of those guys, you know, I mean, he's a fortunate person in some ways, fortunate artist, because everybody knows a Pete Rock beat. Mm. There's a lot of producers I'm sure he understands. You never know who they are. Like, they're just there behind the curtain, so to speak. And I think he recognizes that, and he doesn't see himself as being anything above that, despite the fact that he's made songs that define his genre.
And we were just talking about, really, I think a lot of that comes from the era that he's from, which is all about being, you know, us policing each other as a community rather than us trying to bow down to the industry. That's how you end up crafting, you know, your signature sound like DJ Premier or Pete Rock, and you become an icon, you know, iconic level producer.
And these were the producers who let the rapper say if he wanted to somewhere in the track, they'd give a little shout out to Free Will, good looking for the beat or whatever. But they would never shout their own name on the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think Posta News said it on a track a couple years ago, these producers saying their own name all over the beat. It lacks class.
What,
you know what I'm saying?
Bad man school, fuck again. It's like, okay, stop now, please, make him stop. No, but seriously,
I
want to send a shout out to everybody who was at the Pete Rock show at Proud Galleries in Camden last week, and also at the Homeboy Sandman show at Jazz Cafe the same evening, because it was just ill to see how hip hop properly repped at the Pete Rock show. De La were in the place to be. Shout out to Sevan, who helped make the whole thing happen. You also have Frank Ocean just chilling in the crowd, like front row.
play. You know, he wasn't missing the trick. So it was just very cool to see so many young people as well. Yeah. I really sound old now, don't I? But no, it was a real young crowd, like, and a packed house, and hip hop fully reps. So salutes to all of you in London who made it out to there as well. And there's lots of good hip hop shows coming up. In fact, this week, Thursday, you've got a Wu-Tang on in London at Brixton Academy. Yeah. They're doing a tour across the UK. So make sure you check out the dates. I don't know how many of them are actually going to be in the UK. It might just be RZA. It might just be You God. It's just going to be You God doing the solo tour.
Just You God, Cappadonna, and the Wu-Tang Killer Bees. Come on, man.
No, but I'd just be like, oh, bless them.
Seriously never know, though. You absolutely never know.
Yeah, but that's part of the fun of going to a Wu-Tang show, isn't it? And they're also, I'm going to be DJing at Parklife Festival in Manchester on Sunday too. Nas is performing there, Wu-Tang are performing there, Madlib as well. So that if you're in the Manchester area, make sure you make it out, because that sounds like it'll be super funky fly. Can't wait to see all my Manchester mandem. And next Wednesday, I'm DJing at Oslo in Hackney with the lady Sinead Harnett. So come through to that. If you are tuned in halfway through the interview, make sure you check back at Fubar Radio and listen to the podcast iTunes.
That Pete Rock interview is definitely worth.
That's one to download and keep. Seriously, that was a really nice intimate chat we had with him, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Nas is doing a solo show next week as well.
Is he?
Yeah, he's doing.
That's at Roundhouse.
House.
I remember you were going to get me a hookup for that.
Yeah, I do have the hookup.
So you know our friendship is over. It's on the 20th.
Okay, we can talk
about
this.
So our friendship is on the line here. Yes, no, hook it up, B. But yeah, speaking of Wu-Tang, I thought let's hear some Wu-Tang flavour. And another producer, I think, who's like really important to the signature of hip-hop, RZA. So here's a classic for you. You're tuned into Fubar Radio with Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. Remember, coming up soon, we've got Doc rapping about all kinds of goodies. And we want to know what this week made you say, are you taking the piss? So keep it locked to Fubar. Certified classics on Fubar Radio for you.
They had all the best acronyms as well, didn't they, Wu-Tang? Like, cash rules everything around me is genius.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get those really the ones that it's a struggle.
Yeah.
And like they've missed out words. Like, what happened to that word? Oh, well, it didn't really work if I put in that
but
word.
But you know what I
acronym,
mean.
Bro.
But you know what I mean.
Wu-Tang, we usually take all niggas' garments.
Yeah.
That is so dope, man. They had the best acronyms.
Yes, Wu-Tang was what you were listening to there. Cream. And it's all about repping the hip-hop. I've got another ill Pete Rock tune to play for you guys in a minute. But still to come before we're up out here, we're going to be hearing from you guys to know what made you say,
are you taking the piss
this week? So make sure you get in touch with us at tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. and also we have Doc putting together his wonderful special treat for us, which I've really been missing, Doc.
Well, thank you very much. I'm getting there. There's been so many suggestions, it's been hard to pick one, but I can see the standouts. I mean, some are standing out for all the wrong reasons. I'm looking at you, John Kelly, Ebola.
Yeah, that's a bit too real for us. We like to keep it real, but maybe not that real.
Subhand, shout out to Subhand for Curry. Athelia, botulism, which I had to look up. I was thinking,
botulism?
Botulism, is that how it is?
Yeah.
I looked it up because I didn't know what it meant. I thought this could be fun, like, you know, getting into a word that I don't know what it means and describing it in the rap and whatnot. Then I realised it was like a slow, painful, terminal death. So thanks, Athelia, for really getting
it. Well, I don't know. But, need a cuddle. A
bit more on the right wavelength, I think, was probably Duncan Hogg, who's just written Weetabix. I always liked stuff like that. James Wren, Alan Lee, who was an overweight striker for Crystal Palace a few years ago. And we'll shout out everybody who's coming. Cake. Nattington's put Cake in capital letters.
Hey!
She's obviously serious about
like, Cake. You like things like that, Doc, because what have we had in the past? We've had toenails and drawers. Yeah. We've had stuff. What else was it? Jacket potatoes once. Jacket
potatoes. Didn't he deliver one once?
Yeah.
Probably
I'm certain.
Did. Yeah, jacket potatoes was a favourite. I like anything
jacket
food related
potatoes
is always
good.
At the moment, Matt Spear is winning out, though. He's given us a great one, so I think I'm going to stick with that. We'll see how we get on with the writing.
All right, Doc Brown's rap about anything
coming
up.
It's not too far.
I'm looking forward to it. So, yes, there's still time to get in touch with us. And just for a shout out, I love hearing from you guys at TuesdayDrive@FUBARRadio.com. You can also hit us on Twitter.com/FUBARRadio. And that goes for in between shows as well.
Yeah. Mm. And if you do want to send in some topics for Rap About Anything, please on Twitter, use the hashtag Rap About Anything, because then I can just flick through them and I can see them all in one place. And on the show, you'll definitely get a shout out that way. So I'm not scrolling through like all the honeys on my page trying to get to you. Yeah. All right. Peace.
You know what? I did see a funny video the other day, actually, of guys letting their guy friends read their message streams that they have with their girlfriends.
Mm.
But whether that would really work, and also swapping phones with your husband or wife, how that would really go down, I'm not sure.
It wouldn't go down.
No. With all the hip hop honeys.
From an experienced individual.
That reminds me of a terrible game I came up with when I was younger called Textual Tension. And you swap phones with someone, and you're allowed to text anything you want to anyone on their phone, as long as it's not a work colleague or an ex or a family member.
Oh my God.
And then
God.
You just see how it goes.
Wow. Oh,
it's terrible.
Wow,
terrible. Don't recommend that.
Yeah, that's like heads on roll type business, isn't it? So coming up straight after this, we're going to hear about what this week has made you say, are you taking the piss for real? But first,
what we got?
Still got time to get in touch too at FUBAR Radio. Tweet us.
I always love that with Pete Rock as well, how he has these little like
little interlude things. Yeah, sick, aren't they?
End
of
the tracks too.
My favourite one is the one with the English girl saying she's got some chocolate stuck in her throat. You know the one I mean?
I'm sorry, I can't remember it. I need to listen back to that again. Slacking. You're locked into FUBAR Radio. Of course, earlier we played the interview with the main man, Pete Rock. So listen back to that if you missed out. You're tuned into Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. But now is a very important part of the show, because this show, really, it's all about you guys. It's about the community. And this is the chance where you lot get to vent. You know, we all get quite frustrated and have faced all kinds of issues that do our head in all week. But... Yeah. You know, now's the time where you can share, offload your problems. Mm. And I want to know, we need to know from you guys, what this week made you say,
are you taking the piss?
Yeah.
I know there's endless things that we can each contribute for this.
I always love these coming from you, Sarah, because you know, just generally a very positive person who doesn't really get too angry, whatever, anyway. So you getting pissed off is great.
Yeah, it's
great.
I do have quite a good one this week.
Yes.
But no, what about you, though, Hugh?
No, you go. I want to hear.
Oh, okay. So I was on the tube. I know Doc is anti-tube because he's strictly about the two wheels in the London roads. But yeah, I was on the tube the other week, and then it was like kind of quite busy. So I thought, I'm not even going to bother sit down. So I was standing there. Then these two old guys, I mean, they look like maybe they were like late 70s, and one of them was disabled. Like, he was clearly struggling to walk even just to get onto the train. Nobody stood up to offer their chair.
Yeah, but was he pregnant though? No.
Yeah, but did he have the badge on saying baby on board though?
You get me.
So shut up, pal.
Terrible.
No. So I was just like, are you for real? And then I used my Brian Blessed voice and I said, oh, so nobody's going to offer a seat then on the train.
Don't talk loudly on the tube.
I talk to people every single time I get on the tube.
She stares at them, she offers them strawberries. Can I listen to your headphones?
I do.
She's a crazy tube.
I am. You don't want to be on the tube.
On the circle line going round.
Waiting to hail people out. No, but I was disgusted. I thought
really
that was
bad.
Disgraceful. No, you know, so anyone on the tube, if you ain't offering a seat to someone who clearly needs it more than you do, you are taking the piss. Because I'm sorry, these guys, and as soon as I said something, I was like, oh, seriously, no one's going to offer their chair. I know it's been a long day, but you know, it'd be nice to see someone offer you their seat, wouldn't they? And then he was just like, oh, well, it's just nice talking to you now, isn't it? And then it was funny seeing everyone pretending that they were sleeping on the tube and then suddenly looking away. And then at the next stop, someone was like, oh, actually, here you go. But really,
are you taking the piss?
Yeah, London, sort it out, man. If we want this to be a nice place, we need to change how we deal with each other in those kind of situation. So fix up.
That ain't right. Yeah. That ain't right.
That's messed up.
Doc, how about you, mate? What's been happening?
Well, it's very hard to get pissed off when you spent 2 weeks on the beach in Barbados.
Other than if there's dads showing you up with their drones and GoPros.
On Saturday, I drove the kids up to this monkey reserve on the north coast, which was unbelievably good. Just these little green monkeys just going crazy, going literally apeshit.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
And there was a moment where we saw a tiny newborn and we were just watching. Aww. I mean, it's a completely open reserve, so you can get right up close to the monkeys.
They can be lethal.
They can be crazy. But you know how they like pick nits off of each other and stuff, and the mum was really protective of her little newborn. And I said to the kids, hey, come and have a look at this. It looks amazing. And we were watching that, and they were like, oh, so cute, so cute. So, and then these two sort of adolescent ones stood right in front, and we couldn't see past them, like, oh, move. And they were doing the nitpicking thing. Like, move those big ones. I want to see the cute one. And then my six-year-old said, oh, daddy, what are they doing now? And I looked, and one of them was picking nits out of the other one's asshole.
Wow. But
then it started doing it with his mouth. So it's just because they eat the nits.
Started
eating the nits. So right double out handling. Of the monkey's ass.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not really the taking the piss for me. I don't think those monkeys were taking the piss.
No, but what was your explanation to the kids? You were just like, do you want ice cream?
I literally said,
ass cream? Do you want some chocolate ass cream?
We all saw what was happening. There's nothing to say, really.
Yeah.
It was annoying. But yeah, what was taking a piss was when I got back to the hotel, I realised that I missed the cup final. I love my football. And I knew they had a channel, a sports channel on 63 in the hotel where they repeat the games of the day. So I come in, I said to the bartender there, oh, bruv, you got the sports channel, I missed the cup final. Is it going to be reshown this evening? And he goes, yeah, man, Arsenal win 4-0.
Oh!
I was like, are you really going to go there?
No.
I missed the game, bro. I want to watch the repeat. What are you playing?
Bless him, he had no clue. He obviously wasn't a football head at all.
Yeah, man, Arsenal win 4-0.
Are you taking the piss?
You're right, buddy.
Yeah, that ain't right.
I'm not all right.
Oh, with a smile on it. Not all right now.
West country motherfucker. Watch that game.
You just killed it. That is hilarious.
I got a really bad one this week, actually.
Bad.
I'm not even going to actually repeat what it was posted on Facebook, but somebody that I had known for a really, really long time posted something like a really, really homophobic slur.
Oh,
and I was just like, what?
Wow.
What?
Have you ever heard them talk like that before?
Delete. Never. Wow. And it was so, I didn't even like message him and go, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you know, this is crazy.
Was
I just
Australian
deleted it.
Here?
Yeah, he was actually. I deleted him. Do you know what? And then I posted it. Like, I called him out on Facebook as well. Posted him. I was just like, da-da-da-da-da, can't believe this dickhead. Just delete. And, like, straight away, within, like, 10 minutes, I had, like, 200 likes. And people were like, what an arsehole. What an arsehole, mate. Are you taking the piss?
What did he think? Did he know that it was, like, out of order what he was saying? Or was he just, like, oblivious, do you reckon?
I don't know. I didn't even care to find out. That's, even if he's like, oh, it's just a joke. That's not a joke.
Yeah.
That's just
crazy
terrible,
how
man.
People
That's
don't
terrible.
Think about what they're writing online.
Are you taking the piss?
My Jewish comedian friend, Josh Howie, texted me a couple weeks ago saying, oh, bruv, like, I just heard some rap tune on the radio with you on it, and, like, they're cussing Jews on it. There's some anti-Semitic shit on it.
With you on it, you were like...
I was like, bruv,
like,
if there was ever a song, like, I wouldn't have let that happen.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, it happened, bruv. Like, what's going on? Mm-mm. And then later on, he texted. I said, what's the name of the tune? He goes, I don't know, I'm going to find out. And then later on, he texted me. He goes, yeah, it's this tune with you and some guy called Young Gun and another rapper called Devise. And
he was digging in the crates, man.
There's no Jews on my list. What the hell is that supposed to mean? And I just texted back, creasing. So, like, he says, I don't need any jewels on my wrist to show who's the laggard. And I'm pretty sure that dude is Jewish as well, bro.
Oh, you know what, though?
And he just
rate
texted
him.
Me, I'm just going to go back in my hole now.
Just don't mind me. I rate him for, like, bringing it to you straight, though. Being like, listen, I don't like it.
Yeah,
I respect
standard,
that.
Fair play. Yeah.
That is funny, though. I'm the worst with deciphering lyrics.
Now we got tons coming through.
Oh,
tons.
Yeah,
come
tons.
On, people. We love hearing from you lot. What vent for us? What has been making the FUBAR listeners say?
Are you taking the piss?
Well, Sophie from Croydon has posted, it's not very good for radio, but she's posted a picture of an absolute shit fest at Croydon Station this morning, and she's just
as
quite
in
simply
feces.
Put, I was pissed off when I got to the station and saw this.
What is it? I can't see.
Check it out.
What
it's literally
picture
a picture of
it's like 1,000 people.
It's 1,000 people squashed
on a platform.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
That ain't right. That ain't
That's
right.
That's like could turn into life or death kind of scenarios, man.
It's very descriptive that message, because she said she was pissed off when she got to the station and saw this when she got to the station this morning.
Well, I was just reading something.
I think it happened at the station. I'm not sure. She's put a picture of a station. Just
Train
to make
services.
Are you taking the piss?
Sometimes.
I was reading this little article in the Metro today, in the Metro this morning, where a lady was, she paid for 3-hour parking at a shopping centre. She was in there for about 40 minutes and then came out, and there was such a bad traffic jam trying to get out of this thing that she was there for over two and a half hours, so her parking had run out, and then she got fined 70 quid from the parking people. She was like, what? Are you taking the piss?
piss.
Are you taking the piss?
Now, you know what, though? Apparently, only if it says PCN are you actually legally obligated to pay it. Because there's you have independent companies that win these private car parks where they will put a ticket on your car and then imply that you're obligated to pay, and but you can actually challenge them in court. There's no legal.
Yeah, okay. They're really bad too. It's like security guards and cops, or you know,
bailiffs. Like that is a pretty low
they're
job to do,
piss.
Man.
Here we go.
Sorry, bailiffs.
Are you taking the piss?
Tons more.
And Rob from Newham says, I dropped my phone down the toilet this morning. Now it's taking a piss. And now my phone actually smells of piss.
Are you taking the piss?
He is. He's taking the piss with him everywhere he goes now as his phone slowly leaks it out into
his
pants.
He's broadcasting the piss.
He's going to have a little piss stain in his pants. It's going to be all sorts of terrible things.
Got some lighter-related piss taking here. What's this one?
Yeah, here we go.
I need you speaking into the front.
Oh, I've lost my favourite lighter. I had a picture of a cat on it. I'm distraught.
Are you taking a piss?
My smoking habit is taking a piss. Stan, thank you, Stan and Coulson.
Stan, respect you and everything, but maybe just get out more, dude. Mm. Like, just get out more, then you'll have less emotional attachment to the lighter.
But I had a picture of a cat.
Cats aren't cute, aren't they? Shout out to my cat, Tiger.
He says, there was no peanut butter left in the jar this morning for me toast. You taking a piss?
Especially because Lou lives alone.
Yeah, Lou,
Lou lives alone.
Out of your own life.
Yeah.
Can I say Lou?
Replace
Lou. Big up to Haringey. It's all about representing Haringey.
The Haringey ladder.
Haringey blood.
There you go, Pat and Ham.
Pat and Ham, right? Pat and Ham. And big up everybody in Ham. All the hamsters. I tried to get off this morning, and two chiefs wouldn't wait for me to get off and push their way on. I was so pissed off.
Are now you
taking
the piss?
She was trying to get off.
Trying to get yourself off? What were you doing? She didn't actually specify. What was I getting off here?
Using the word chief.
I was about to say, Doc, that was so long since I heard that. Yeah. That's
Pat
so our generation.
I'd be amazed.
Londoners of our generation.
Chief.
Love that.
That could be about anything at all.
It could be about anything.
She could have been in bed. Could have been in bed this morning trying to get off, and then two chiefs. Where did they come from? What the hell?
Push their way on.
I've got to stop going to bed with a mask over my face and wake up in all these terrible situations.
Stop sleeping with chiefs.
Here we go, last one.
From Tex in Blackheath, who says, I fancied a whippy earlier. A whippy. But the ice cream van is already driven by the time I get there. I need me a 99.
Are you taking a piss?
Taking a fucking piss.
There's quite a lot of beef for ice cream men out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've heard about people's gripes with ice cream men quite often.
To the world. Give them a break.
Yep.
Yeah.
You definitely would, though. If you had a van, you'd definitely like drive as far as you could and keep the kids running just for a little bit longer. Just drive one more block.
You know, blatantly they're doing that. Just to bring some, you know, bright highlights to their day, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, are you taking the... I love hearing what...
I know, it's brilliant.
An insight into the minds of the FUBAR listeners. You can hit us up in between shows as well at Tuesday Drive at FUBARradio.com. You know, you can vent even when we're not on air.
Yeah, are they air day?
But now we have another very special part of the show that, you know, I've been longing for over the last few weeks. Is it 6 weeks you've been away?
I think it's 6 weeks, man.
That's disgraceful. Okay, first of all, we got to sort out your mic situation. Are you talking into the front of the mic, Doc? I'm not convinced you are. You are taking the piss with your mic placement.
Are you taking the piss?
Trying to talk into that.
No. You need to. Where's the logo? Okay.
There's no logo. There's just like a little bit of white tape. I'm guessing that means the front. You know, maybe just turn me the fuck up.
I can't turn you any louder. That's what I'm saying.
No, you're on the wrong channel.
Why don't you rap into this one? No, that's not you. That's
him.
You.
Guess two.
No, but it's been turned. You've got.
Where
talk-
the fuck is Ali?
That is. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, hey.
There it is.
Are you on the front of it? Okay. The reason we need to get this right.
I'm not a techie. I'm just a man.
You don't press buttons.
With words, the power of words, and the power of love.
Oh. Lovely words.
Lovely words.
Oh, nice.
But it's that point of the show where we get Doc to rap about anything. We ask you guys to pick a subject that you want to hear Doc represent. Mm. And so
thank you so much to everybody.
Who is it from and what did you pick? What is the subject?
I had to go with Matt Spear, at Matt Spear on Twitter, because, I mean, he just gets it, man. He's just put shoehorns and gravy boats. That just sounds poetic. Do you know what I mean?
I thought you were going to go with Thrush. Isn't that what you said?
Thrush was tempting. Shout out Thrush. Shout out all the terminal diseases.
Shout out Thrush.
Shout out all the terminal diseases we've had. through.
That's one of the biggest shout-outs
and the
game.
Genital relations.
Big up my cranberry juice drinkers. Yeast infection in the house.
He's drinking that cran cran. Yo.
So it's FUBAR Radio with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. And right
shoe
now,
shoe horns and gravy boats, bitch.
We're going to get Doc to okay, shout out Matt Spear.
Shout out to Matt Spear. That's clear. Giving two underappreciated topics for a rap here. Maybe I'll be proved wrong. But first off, can we show a little love to the shoehorn? How you gonna get them tight shoes on when you're going to a wedding? Maybe somewhere in Reading, struggling to get into them hard leather shits. Tugging at the tongue and the heel, ripping up your fingertips by a little shoehorn. And you're sweet, shit's like a playground slide for your feet. Plus they got them really long ones now, pimped out, you ain't even gotta bend down. Dog life! But you know that ain't enough, right? There's another topic that I gotta touch, right? Big up Matt Spear, cause it's very plain he knows the importance of a motherfucking gravy boat. Bruv, you can't just pour from a jug or from a pan, man, that gets no love. It's a Sunday, top roast munch. Have some goddamn respect for your lunch. Go and grab the only boat that can't sink. Fill that shit with gravy that is good enough to drink. Hold it in your hand and you move like a king. Bone China, it's a beautiful thing. Shoehorns and gravy boats. Shoehorns and gravy boats. Both dope. Go. Shout out Matt Spear at Matt Spear on Twitter. If you want your own rap about anything, hashtag rap about anything, hit me up at DocBrown88 or at FUBAR Radio on Twitter, or email us at thestudio@fubarradio.com. We're always here, always, even when we're not on air. Absolutely. We're like hiding under the desk listening to the other shows.
Stalking the other presenters.
Keep your correspondence.
Did you say hiding
through
under the desk or our vests?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
Vest and under a vest.
Yeah, let's not be specific. No. Like the chick with the getting on and getting off.
Oh, it's good to have you back,
yeah,
Doc.
It's good to have you back. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
That was jolly good.
Oh, jolly good show.
Jolly good show.
Thug life.
Truly thugged out lifestyles. Mm. No, thank you very much.
See y'all next week.
Yes. Yeah. We love you. It's all about you guys on this show. So cannot wait to be next week. We've had some ill guests these last couple of weeks.
Man,
so you're going to have to just keep locked to twitter.com/FUBARradio. See who's next in the hot seat. Make sure you make it out to these ill hip hop shows happening this week as well across the country. It's all about Parklife Festival in Manchester on Sunday, Wu-Tang Clan in London on Thursday night. Ooh, oh my goodness. They're coming to a town near you. And that's a wrap from Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Love you. Bye.
Later.